Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. We're going to talk about some recent purchases. Maybe dig something out of a Wizard magazine because I have no questions. And get into the weekly numbers. So let's dig into what I purchased. A lot of R-rated, X-rated material. Eros Entertainment has some comics that, I haven't explored too much Eros, but I will in the future for sure. They're an X-rated company of comics. They've been around for a long time. Like my first Eros comic that I picked up, I was in college and it was a book called Ramba. And that was my only one that I got that was like that. So the only two that I got that were sort of explicit like that were Faust and Ramba. For some reason, I don't have my Faust in my database, but I know I have at least six to eight of the series, because I was picking them up at Doc's News, right outside my work, when I was in college. And that was kind of a cool, diverse comic store and a porn shop. What comic shop slash porn shop? So they sold DVD, VHS. I don't think DVDs were around at the time. So VHS porn movies in the back behind two shutter doors, and then they had like a lot of independents and. A lot of stuff I got from them was I was going to a place called Tall Tales, and I would order through Diamond, and if a book was hot, they wouldn't give it to me, which was it just pissed me off to no end. So I either went across the street to a comic warehouse place and got them there, or I had a pull list at Doc's News. And there's two guys that worked there. One was like a long-haired rock guy. He was really cool. He was the guy that was there. And then there was a real heavy-set guy that loved Milk and Cheese. That's all I can remember about him. He loved that comic. And they had the comics up front, and one rack had the Marvel DC, the rack towards the door had like Malibu and Image and all kinds of stuff there, Triumphant. And then there was a corner rack in the corner that had Eros and North Star and Rebel and your more explicit type content books. So I don't have a lot of those, but every time I see some of these pop up for cheap, I get them. So I have thumbed through this. They are explicit, but I got Spunky Knight 1 through 5 from Eros. It looks like a manga type driven porn comic. And then I got my first Carnal comics. These were actually comic stories about true stories of adult film stars. And this was a limited edition photo cover from Revisionary Press number 1 with Brittany Andrews. And I do remember Brittany Andrews. Carnal Comics, Roxy Ryder. I don't remember her at all, but I got another one. Fantagore, Roger Corbin did this. And this is number 1. I got another Eros comic called The Darker Side of Sex, number 1. I got two Avatar books. I didn't know these existed, to tell you the truth. They're Faust, Book of M, number 1, and number 2. And I think there's a number 3, but I gotta track that down. We have these ones I got cheap, and I know I'm pretty sure I have these, but I don't have them in my database for whatever reason. I have to go check and see if I have my Rambas. Maybe I didn't want to put my X-rated books, or maybe at the time Comic Base was not putting explicit books on there, and they never made it into my database, which means they're in a spiral notebook upstairs behind 5 layers of hardbacks and paperbacks that I can't get to right now to check it. But these were relatively cheap, so I got Faust Act 1 and Act 2. And even though I'm positive I have them, and I have been reading the hardcover on this collected edition stuff, and then I got towards the end, I don't think I finished Faust, but it was Act 9, Act 10, Act 11, and Act 12. So those were later on, and probably towards my graduation, I wasn't getting as many comics as I was. I don't even remember how I. It'd be interesting to go back in time and see how I went to the comic shop and told them I no longer needed a pull list because I was moving. And then when I got here, I moved around from shop to shop. So New Mexico, it was Spinner Racks, the drugstore or Alsup's. And then I went from there to Don's Paperback Book Exchange, which is still there on San Mateo. And then from there, I went to Tall Tales, which was nostalgia before that. And I stayed there for a really long time until I started getting frustrated. And then I went to Tall Tales, and I mean, not Tall Tales, Doc's News. And I would go to other stores sporadically just to fill in issues and stuff like that, like the Comic Warehouse, and there was a couple other ones. I don't think Comic Warehouse exists anymore. Tall Tales doesn't exist anymore. Don's Paperback Book Exchange does. And then I came here and I went to Gotham Collectibles, I believe it was. I can't remember the second name, but it was Gotham. That was on Academy. And then that led me to buying my first house. And I kind of cut my comics list to nothing at that when I was trying to get into a house. And I only got like Flash and I can't remember the two titles. It was like Flash and something else, maybe Daredevil, just because they're my two favorite heroes. So if you want to know who my favorite heroes, it's Flash and Daredevil. Black Panther's up there, but OMAC is there, but he doesn't usually have a title. But and then I went from that store. No, it. I quit that store before we moved into our house. That store, I think, went out of business, and I migrated my pull list to the mall at Chapel Hills, and I don't remember what that store was called, but it didn't last long. It was there like a year, and then they went under. So I moved my pull list to Mile High Comics, which was closer to where I moved in. And that was, even though it wasn't a Mile High Comics, it was sort of like a suburb of Mile High Comics. It had the same name. The supplier was Mile High Comics, but the person who owned the store was not Mile High. So it's almost like he ran a store for Mile High that Mile High was the distributor for, which was very unusual. So I'd get my books that and at that place you'd pay as the books came in. So as soon as the books came in, your credit card would be charged. And then that place went out of business, and they said they were still going to run out of his house. So I stayed with him for 2 months and I got shafted out about $200. That didn't work out. And then I went to Ed's, and I'm still there to this day, even though DCBS owns most of my business, but I still go to Ed's Cards and Comics. So that's sort of my comic LCS experience. I've always had a pull list of some sort, because there's always been a discount behind it. Some stores were 10%, some stores were 20%, some were 25%. It still offers 25% if you get, I think you have to have 20 books on your pull list or more. If you have less than that, like 10 or less, you have a 10%. So, which is unheard of for a brick and mortar store. Like, I don't know how he does it at that rate, to tell you the truth. Because there's no stores that'll do that high of a discount. But when I was going to the mall, there was no discount, and that sucked. Like, I was like, I gotta get out of this place, you know, because when you pay full price for a comic, it's just like incredible the way the cost of comics are these days. You know, you at least want some kind of discount to do that. But there were some also some in this purchase that I got from Aaron Myers, there were also some other comics which I'm gonna try to read from my social media. But because I post so many sexy women, it's gonna be tough for me to find it. I wish those I should have just bookmarked it. That's what I'll do if I get there. So I'll bookmark that. Bookmark that and bookmark that. So also I got a anytime I could get a Dave Stevens cover, I jump on it. I got King Kong number one, which has a Dave Stevens cover where you have King Kong and you have a beautifully drawn woman that he did in the palm of King Kong's hand. It's pretty incredible. We have Mortal Kombat, Katana, and Milena. Anytime there's a Malibu comic, I pick it up. So I have a full run of Ultraverse, minus maybe 10 issues of. I'm estimating that because there's an uninventoried box in my closet I haven't gotten to. But yeah. Then we have Amazing Spider-Man. Let's see if I could get close enough to read this. Number 8. It is my earliest Amazing Spider-Man. Has the Human Torch on the cover, along with him fighting a robot and boxing. It looks like Flash Thompson. Spider-Man tackles the Human Torch. 37. This is Once Upon There Was a Robot. I think this is a Spider Slayer maybe issue. Number 93, which is a Prowler issue. And then number 92, which was Spider-Man holding Gwen Stacy being attacked by Iceman. That's pretty interesting. I haven't read that story. It could be a very good one. I'm also trying to complete my X-Men run, and there are some that I probably never will get just because of expense, like within the top 10. But everything beyond that is pretty affordable. And I have most of it. So I got X-Men 32, 33 were Juggernaut issues. And then I got 37. This one I really like because I've read that digitally. It was a lot of fun. And then Thor 161 has Ego, the planet, and Galactus on the cover. And Thor's caught in the middle. So that was that. I wish I knew how to return out of that mode. And then, let's see. I got. a Batman issue. This was a Neil Adams cover, but I can't. I'm looking at a picture because I filed these away, actually. And I can't read these numbers. There's an early up 12-cent issue of Flash featuring the Mirror Master, where he's shooting like a bazooka at Flash, and there's like he's like in the mirror himself, so he's gonna like shatter it. And then there's Flash falling into the ground, and an issue of Superboy. I can't read it because of the way I took the picture. I took them in groups of four, so the Superman looks like he's Superboy. Here lies the real Superboy, like he's dead, sitting on like a stone tablet. And then several issues of Adventure Comics. Getting close to finishing off the Adventure Comics Supergirl era. So I have every Adventure Comics continuously from 1973 forward. Now I'm going and working my way backward. And then there was a great issue of Superman where he's on trial in Oa with the Guardians trying him. So that's a great cover. And the two advent so two of the three of the Adventure Comics were Supergirl issues, and then prior to that they were Superboy Legion of Superhero issues. And these two, one of them's a 10-center, it's a Superboy issue, and so is the one after it. So I have two 10-centers. That was a good pickup. I wish I could go grab these. I got an issue of 42 of Super Friends and Tarzan 232, which was an issue I'm missing. So I've been trying to finish my Super Friend. Well, anything that I'm getting, I'm trying to finish. But I think that wraps up the bulk of this purchase here. And then I went to the mall, which I hadn't been to the mall in a long time, on the north end of town. We're on the east end, and we don't ever go to the mall. But we had eaten at Señor Manuel's, which we go to at least once every month, or if not every other month. That's one of our favorite Mexican places, to get the chicken chimichanga smothered in green chili with cheese and lettuce and tomatoes. And then a side of Mexican mac and cheese, which is wonderful. But I wanted to walk it off, and we hadn't been to the mall in a long time. And one of the guys that used to work at Ed's Cards and Comics, who had moved his sales to the flea market and owned a store where he was renting a unit there, had teamed up with another partner or partners that put a comic store right by the base called Vault Comics, but they didn't last there that long. And then they moved that location to the mall, and it's a nice big store. So I didn't buy anything there, but what I know the mall has turned into, I think the rents have gone down. I mean, there's still a Spencer's and a Hot Topic and Victoria's Secret. There's a shoe store and Dillard's and Macy's, but a lot of the big store chains had just went away, and there's still a movie theater there. There's a pet store. And then it seems like the rest of the stores are all, there's a few clothing stores, but not as much as they used to have. And then there's at least 10 collectible stores, and what I mean about that is selling toys, pops, retro games. Like there's an 80s themed collectible store, there's a comic store with the new stuff and old stuff, and then there's like four different collectibles places. There's a train, like for train hobbyists that like to build toy trains. There's the square footage on that is incredible. Like, I never thought toy trains would be driving that much business. What the only time I see toy trains is when I go to the state fair and see the train exhibits. But Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I didn't buy anything there except they had a Heroes World catalog where Joe Kubert, the Kubert School, used to draw for Heroes World, and they would draw all the Mego characters and all the toys and puzzles and all the things that you could buy. Books sometimes. They weren't taking pictures of the stuff. They were actually drawing like what they were, all the vehicles and stickers and everything. So I bought one of those, and this one I did have before. Like I remember circling what I wanted for Christmas one year, and my parents, who didn't like to order stuff through the mail, did order it because I think that was the only place I could get a Green Arrow doll. Like you could go to Kmart's and Sears, and you could find a Superman, a Spider-Man, and a Hulk, but you couldn't find a Falcon and a Green Arrow or some of the more obscure characters. And I asked for some obscure characters, and I got them that one Christmas. So that was kind of cool. I got the catalog. I spent a lot of time looking at it, and it was a lot of fun. I don't have any questions that I could check, but I'm pretty sure I don't. Let's see, more bookmarks. Yeah, I don't have any more. So I don't have any questions, so I think I'm gonna look through Wizard and see if there's anything. I talked a lot about it in the previous episode about what was coming out. There's a great Exo Man of War. There's an article about Bart Sears being back. Acclaim Comics and The Visitor. Armada was releasing. So I always say I own like all the Valiant. I don't own a lot of the Armada stuff. That was Magic the Gathering and some of their fantasy stuff. Shadow Mage, Magic the Gathering. Yeah, there's a couple of Ice Age. There's a couple of things. Windjammer, I did. That was like the creator owned. There was Star Slayer, Director's Cut, Shaman's Tears, Nighthawk, Valeria, the She-Bat, Samurai. So continuity was going through them. And let's see. You could order. There was a Lady Death contest in this. How'd you like to take Lady Death home with you? That would pretty sexy, right? Some sexy time. Yeah? Well, your buddies at Chaos Comics and Wizard Press have teamed up to give you the chance to win the little lady herself, along with other pretty keen stuff. Grand prize. One lucky dog will reap a one-of-a-kind Lady Death statue sculpted by Claiborne Moore. Yeah, you heard us, one of a kind. Wow, there's like no reproduction. You see, this here statue is the master prototype from which all other Lady Death statues are made. On top of that, this bad girl is painted by Moore Creations color designer. And hey, did we mention the diamond inlay and signed certificate of authenticity? See, I thought it was going to be a cosplayer you get to take home with you. That would have been more interesting for grand prize than a statue, one of a kind. Second prize, 10 fans will win a 18 and a half inch by 29 inch Lady Death chromium poster. And yeah, there's an ad in here for The Dark and Fudang. We talked a little bit about that. Of course, they had the drawing board, and I wanted to give another shout out to one of the listeners who sent me these, Gary Arkle. So I love to read thumb through the wizards for sure. It's like a historical snapshot in time. Wildstorm, this is probably when they 1994, they're probably still at Image. Yeah, they're at Image. Wildstorm Special number 2 by Ron Mars and Cully Hamner. I have most of the Stormwatch, if not all, but it would be interesting to see if I have the special. Let's check it out while we're here. Storm Watch. And that usually the Stormwatch title would be the first one. Looks like I have it all that run. But there should be like, yeah, Special Edition 1 and 2. I actually have two copies of number 2. Interesting. So there was an ad for that in there. And it was Cully Hamner and Ron Mars, according to my database. Jim Lee does movies. What are they saying there? A Gen 13 animated motion picture is slated as the first project of Wildstorm Pictures. This never happened. The recently announced arm of Jim Lee's Wildstorm Productions Gen 13 movie, budgeted at $2 million, will be directed by Batman and Alpha Animated veteran Kevin Altieri and is scheduled to be a direct-to-video release in early 1996. The movie will be an adaptation of the comic book series. There will be some slight changes, but it will be real close to the literal adaptation. Marionette said that Gen 13 film is already in active pre-production. That never happened. Is Cruise on the Mark? So Tom Cruise was supposed to be on the mark. This one I have, The Power of the Mark. This one I have heard because Extreme Chief Rob Liefeld talked with Cruise's people, but there was a question of whether Cruise will be directly involved. From the folks of Extreme comes a confirmation of a meeting and a statement. We really don't want to confirm or deny anything at this point because things aren't finalized. Ditto Liefeld's confab with Steven Spielberg, considering the chances of Spielberg's involvement in bringing Liefeld's Dooms 4 to the screen through Album Entertainment. From Extreme comes the confirmation of Spielberg and Liefeld have met to discuss blah blah blah. A Incredible Hulk movie, co-production between Gale Ann Hurd, Terminator 2 and Aliens, and Marvel Comics is in active development. According to the studio, we have the first draft, but I don't think this one turned into anything. That was too early for the Ang Lee film. A Crow Reincarnation, a sequel to The Crow, that did happen. Anne Rice calling the success of Interview with the Vampire has not been lost. So it talks about Lestat. Will Russell escape? Kurt Russell and John Carpenter have been woodshedding recently, and a result may be the long-anticipated Escape from New York sequel, Escape from Los Angeles. That did happen. Faust, anyone? Rebel comic Faust. For nearly 2 years, they have Stuart Gordon inked to direct, co-creator writer David Quinn. We want to be true to the comic, and that scares people. I want to see this movie. This movie did get made. I might buy it just to see how bad it really is. Corman to release Black Scorpion. Hamill wants to die. Mark Hamill makes no bones about it. I'm really a sucker when I don't have to audition. When somebody calls me and says, "Will you do this?" it's pretty much a lock at that. I will do it. And so when director John Carpenter came calling with a small role of a town minister in Village of the Damned remake, Hamill agreed. No, it's the Village of the Damned. Coons Control, Dean Coons. Clive changes course. Clive Barker. Let's Make a Deal. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Yeah, so there's a lot of movie news. Wall crawling contest for the grand prize, a Sega Genesis system with Acclaim's new Spider-Man game. I had a Genesis, but I didn't have no Spider-Man game. Cutting back, article writer Chuck Dixon on why he writes so much at one time, how the Bat writers don't see eye to eye, and how he relates to the Punisher. Nice ad for Valeria Shebat. Aquaman article. So, yeah. Some fun things we talked about, I think in the last episode, the top 10 characters, Comic Watch, the Wizard Picks. And we talked about the Hot 100. I wish we still had the Hot 100. It's so, we have no idea. The Wizards Top 10 Artists, and this is from 1995. Number one, Todd McFarlane. Number two, Frank Miller. Number three, Steven Platt. Number four, Greg Capullo. Wow, he looks really young in that picture. Number five, Joe Quesada. Number six, Alex Ross. Number seven, Walt Portasio. Number eight, Jeff Smith. Number nine, Andy Kubert. And number 10, Adam Kubert. The hottest writers. Number one, Neil Gaiman. Number two, Frank Miller. Number three, Peter David. Number four, John Byrne. Number five, Fabian Nicieza. Number six, Scott Lobdell. Number seven, Jeff Smith. Number eight, Ron Mars. Number nine, John Ostrander. And number 10, Chris Claremont. So, got some stuff. Market Watchers, these are letters to Dear Wizard. Could you please tell me the value of the 1968 Beatles Yellow Submarine comic printed by Gold Key with the number 3500902 on the cover? Now, here's the book I hope you have, Mike. This movie tie-in and featuring Jim Valentino's favorite band is worth a whopping $175 in near mint condition, and with a pull-out poster inside intact, about half, 90 without the extra. So $90 without the poster. Do you realize that if you sell it, Fab Four owner Michael Jackson gets half of your dough, right? That's when Michael Jackson, that's a smart ass remark, because Michael Jackson bought the Beatles library at one point. I was wondering how you can get Stanley's autograph. Why would I want Stanley's autograph? No, actually, conventions are the best way to go. They're just. What is worth more, Action Comics number one or Detectives number one? That's an interesting question and easily answered. Definitely Action Comics number one, Superman's debut. As true collectors know, Detective 27, not number one, is the biggie with the first appearance of Batman. And at the action issues are tied to approximately market value of 125,000, with Soup's book widely recognized the most expensive comic out there. So if you were able to take a time machine back to the late 30s, that's the book you should grab 10 copies of, bring back, but you damage all reality by doing so. I wanted to know which comics have the first appearance of the Legion and Lobo. So they talk about Legion being the Marvel character. That's New Mutants 25 and Omega Men number 3. So yeah, they'd answer questions from people. Yeah, so that's all I'm gonna cover there, and then I'll get into some weekly reads, but I'll need some more questions from you guys. And, or I'll start making up my own. You'll have to suffer through my own questions. So, give me a moment to pause and come back. All right, let's do this. I'll talk about books that I read from January 8th through January 14th. We'll start with the movies I watched that week. All of them were 5 out of 5s, believe no, sorry. One was a 5 out of 5, two was a 4 out of 5. So that week I watched Renfield. That was sort of like a comedy horror thing with Nicolas Cage and the guy that played Beast in the X-Men. I don't know what his name is. It was sort of about like they're in modern times and Renfield's been immortal along with Dracula and he's always his servant. And he gets tired of doing that and wants more to his life. It's essentially the plot. It was a pretty funny and interesting, well, not too funny like laugh out loud, ha ha ha, but like a cute, funny, and cool plot horror type story. I rewatched Basic Instinct because I started reading the comic and I was a little lost. And I was like, let me refresh my memory about the Ice Pick Killer to see how this continues after that. That was 4 out of 5s, and the 5 out of 5s was Star Wars Rebels Season 3. I finally finished it. I wanted to finish Rebels before I got into Ahsoka. So that's what. Animated wise, I've watched all the cartoons that were major, like Rebels, The Clone Wars. There's some of the Japanese styled ones I didn't watch, and there was some Clone Wars shorts that were not part of the regular Clone Wars that I didn't watch. But anime, like Bad Batch too, I've watched that to completion, so I'm pretty caught up. And they are a very important part of the Star Wars lore, so I'm very happy to watch them. Let's start with the 3 out of 5. We have Death of Venomverse number 5. The multiverse team manages to stop Carnage's attack. Carnage seems like he is back to merge with the original host, Cletus Kasady. And I have started the new Carnage series. And he is merged with Cletus Kasady. Actually, I had read Carnage number 1 before I read Death of Venomverse, and I wanted to see how this series led up to where we were. So I went back and backtracked before I continued with issue 2. But I have read issue 2, and now I have 3 and 4 on my stack, which I'll probably get to right after I'm done recording. I'll probably read 3 and 4. And then take a nap before Barb comes. And then probably start reading my weekly books for Geek Brunch. And I was planning with a new co-host to do a DC Spotlight, but something came up again. So what you're going to see on the feed for DC, and I hope you enjoy them, is I've been posting DC Noise Retro. I'm put and starting with episode 4 and going forward. So, just to give you a little perspective of DC Noise, DC Noise was originally started on the Derek Coward Network by Peter Rios. For those of you who don't know, Peter Rios is he was a big podcaster and one of the original podcasters with the Comic Geek Speak, in terms of maybe not the first gen, but the second generation of podcasters, I guess. And they were one of the biggest podcasts going forward. It was Peter Rios and Brian Deemer and Matt and God, I can't remember all their names. Pants and I used to listen to them religiously. I started with them and got into their forums where I met like all my co-hosts from podcasting. And there were two podcasts I started with back in the it's like. Early years of man, would it be 2003 or maybe 2006? I don't remember. It was prior to 2006 because that's when I started. So maybe around 2004, for Derek Coward's podcast and then this one. So I started listening to comics podcast. I had an iPod and was able to take that iPod with me and listen to their podcasts. Now they're everywhere. You can go on YouTube, you could see videos, you could, I mean, the podcasts, there's so many to follow. But they come and go. I've been around since 2006, haven't stopped. So, yay me. We get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Darkness number 9. That's the war with the Yakuza, Darkness, and Witchblade. Seems like Nottingham is on Sarah's side. He actually, at the end of this series, I'm going to tell you to cheat ahead, but he takes the Witchblade from Sarah. So there you go. And the issues that I'm currently rereading, he currently has the Witchblade still. Even though the Witchblade like yearns for Sarah. Like it's like, oh, I gotta be on Sarah's body. I hate this man's body that I'm on. And Nottingham is starting to lose control a little bit. We have 4 out of 5, Hong Kong Fooey, number 4 from Charlton Comics. Real pleasure to read, and man, they're hard to track down. But man, if I could finish the Hong Kong Fooey, I'll be happy. It's a haunted house issue, and one where he is attacked by one of his villains trying to electrocute him. Also, one where he is just feeling tired and at work. He's just like tired. He's a janitor in his alias persona that sort of jumps in this three folder filing cabinet, you know, like one of those old metal filing cabinets. I think it goes in the top drawer and comes out, and the bottom drawer is Hong Kong Fooey, or it's either jump in the bottom drawer and come out the top drawer. You had every time you read the comic, you have to have Scatman Crothers' voice in there, so you get the full effect. Right, it's the cartoon. We have Birds of Prey 1 and 2. Black Canary has to form a team to go and rescue her sister Sin from Thermascara. Big Barda, Batgirl, Zealot, and there was one other character I can't remember. We got Spider Boy number 1. Tells the origin and how he is sometimes considered a monster to press. But Peter and Spidey trying to help him out with his hero image. We have Groot number 2 through 4. This was the latest volume. So of all these comics so far, oh, I forgot to mention Book of Shadows 1 through 4. There's a Valiant. I got started reading some Valiant comics. We have Jack, that's the Shadow Man, Punk Mambo, Dr. Mirage, and Persephone must try and stop Extrak Fawn, unleash the Book of Shadows with the help of Eternal Warrior. Groot don't own these. I read these digitally. A story from the past that ties the tales to astonish Groot with Captain Marvel. Groot is a young sapling. This was kind of interesting because I've always enjoyed Groot as an adult, but I really like the origin story of Mar-Vell, like Captain Marvel. So this sort of has him as a young, you know, Kree soldier, and I enjoyed this quite a bit. We have Scooby-Doo number 36 from DC Comics. The gang looks like they're committing crimes, and the gang has to catch them in the act. So there's some like people that are taking advantage of the way they look, dressing up like them and committing crimes in a mystery machine, and they're not the gang, and the gang has to take down a bunch of thieves that are acting like they're them. We have New Warriors number 1. This has been fun. I've been rereading New Warriors and Guardians of the Galaxy late at night on my iPad. One of them I like more than the other just because it, I don't know, it has like that Teen Titans feel, or like Young Heroes, which I've always liked. But this is Night Thrasher throws Richard Rider off a building to give him his powers back. So he's like building a team. Night Thrasher is a real rich guy that works at a corporation that he inherited from his father. And there's some guy there that trains him to be a badass fighter. And he wants to form a team. And Richard Rider's the first one. And at this time, Richard Rider's sort of powerless. And Night Thrasher wants him on the team. So he like just throws him off a fucking building to get his powers back. And that's how he activated his powers. And Richard Rider's like, well, how the fuck did you know I was going to get my powers? Like, how did you know it was going to work? And he says, I didn't. And then he blackmails Firestar, threatening to reveal her identity, and gets justice after he's denied membership from two Avengers. Namorita joins by coincidence, and they take on the reincarnated version of Terax the Terrible, who was a Galactus Herald who was dead, and it's reincarnated. And then we have Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. This is Vass Astro, Charlie 13, Martin X, and the rest of that crew as they take on the Stark. So they're like a. There is a culture that. But back in the day, Stark was feeling that his technology was being used to destroy humanity, so he launched a rocket into space with all his tech, and it landed on this planet. And this planet became ups who was relatively primitive, became obsessed with technology, and they got into war, and they built body armor for everybody to go consume planet after planet as they consumed resources. And there's this planet called Corgi. Which look like dogs, like corgi dogs, kind of like it kind of looks more like spaniels, but than actual corgis, because corgis are like the short dogs that are sort of brown and white, at least the ones I've seen. But they're on Corgi, and the guardians are trying to help them as they are in the midst of searching for Captain America's shield, and they sort of run into the situation. Starhawk at this point is switches place with another woman. I don't know if that's his sister or what, but he's either the female or male. Like, she's not in a Starhawk outfit, she's in her outfit. So, but only one of them can be active at a time. It's like Firestorm, but you can only have one. So, like Stein or Ronnie. But Firestorm's not a good example. Other than it's like two people, two heroes, but you can only have one active at one time. It's like the other one goes into the mind space, I guess, or hasn't been totally explained yet. Fantastic Four, number 142, volume 1. Fantastic Four, team is disbanded, and Thing goes to witness Alicia's surgery to get her sight back, and runs into Darkoath and a huge fight. Reed goes to a class reunion and finds Doom at the reunion. That was a very good issue, and I've read beyond that, and it's really good. Fantastic Four 3 through 8. This is the current volume. The FF are reunited after Reed sends the Baxter Building and the kids out of New York, and they cannot return for 1 year. They have to fight a bacteria, Doom, who wants to mess with time to save Valeria, and then Zargor messes with everyone's mind. It's the sort of very interesting take on the family aspect. And them dealing with Reed's. So Reed did this thing where he had to like port the kids and everyone in the Baxter Building to some space and time, which is hard to explain, to keep them alive. Like, that was, he deemed that was his only choice. Even Dr. Doom questioned him, like, you dumb motherfucker, like he's got a relationship with Valeria and he wants to go rescue her in a few, in one of these issues. But it's been really entertaining ride for sure. Ben, what was it, Ryan North, of Squirrel Girl fame, is writing it. We have Green Lantern War Journal 1 through 2. This series turns into a 5 out of 5 for me. It is really, really good. Like, Philip Kennedy Johnson, this book to me. So my favorite Green Lantern is Kyle Rayner, and then probably John is second, and then Guy is third, and Hal is last. Hal is, I've read some great Hal stories. But Hal has always been such a no personality space cop that I just could never latch on to. Like, I get he's supposed to be the best Green Lantern, but I call bullshit because Kyle became the White Lantern and everything else. So I don't know. I only so many people could do that, So I. But this is John goes back to Earth to take care of his mom, who she's sort of has like Alzheimer's. She doesn't remember much, and she thinks her daughter's alive, but her daughter's dead. And John, is letting her believe that at some point because he's tired of telling her, no, she's gone. And he is empowered with green power. He's attacked by a Green Lantern sent by the United Planets. So United Planets took away the rings from the Green Lanterns of Earth, and John was one of them, but he manifested the green power within his own body. Like Green Hal Jordan right now crafted his own like ring right now. Like, so it's like they were depowered by the United Planets, but this they come after him. To get the ring back. Meanwhile, the Revenant Queen, who's the main villain of this series, turns everyone she associates to zombies, and the zombie Green Lanterns come after John. And she started with this Green Lantern that wanted to pick a fight with John and the fellow Green Lanterns that were working with him. Getting to the 5 out of 5s we have from Marvel Comics, Adventures of the Planet of the Apes. Number one. This is an adaptation of the movie, and the first issue is the three astronauts land on Earth where they're running out of food and find a bunch of primitives and then get hunted by apes who kill two of them, so of the three astronauts. This, I originally believe, was in Planet of the Apes magazine, and they took the content of this material and colorized it, and I have. I don't know, maybe 6 issues of the original material, but I read this on the omnibus. Now, that was an expensive fucking omnibus. It's like 8 issues for $100. But I had won an award at work and I got an Amazon card and I was like, I'm just gonna do it because I didn't buy it from previews when it was solicited through DCBS, even if it was 50% off, because I was like, man, that's just. But when it was more like free money, it was easier for me to justify that I really wanted it. And at that time, I did not know that this material was already in the magazines because I already owned that material inside of the Boom Planet of the Apes archives, which are black and white from the magazine in hardcover. So, yeah, I didn't know that this color version of it was just reprints of that. But now I do. You learn the hard way sometimes. I then read Sirius, number 1 through 3 and issue 6 of Dawn. I have 4 and 5 to buy on my comic shop, but I haven't pulled the plug on that yet. Heaven and Hell and the passing of the father's legacy with Dawn kind of guiding Dara and Ahsoka. So the. Dara and Ahsoka is sort of like the guy on the journey, and Dawn is really just a byproduct. But if you look read this book in terms of like religious and like what this is and all the themes that are playing, It's really fascinating and really good, and it's beautifully drawn. It is crazy good. I have told you in the past that I was not much of a Lisner fan, but man, lately, just within the last 2, 3 years, I've become addicted. And and then I wanted to get the first appearance, but I haven't pulled the trigger on that yet. Because I did some research on where her first appearances are. Cry for Dawn is an anthology, so I found out it was an anthology, and that Dawn's not even really a character in it, but like a character on the cover. So it sounds like Dawn's more of like a crypt keeper, type Elvira telling the story. But I don't know that for a fact. I just know what I kind of like. Did some minimal research. I gotta dig more into it, but I still would like to have her first appearance, even though it might be a cover image or whatever. I'll get very little of it, whereas this one, she's at least an integral part of the story. So that wraps up January 8th through the 14th. The top books were Adventures of the Planet Apes number 1, Dawn 1 through 3, and issue number 6. So I just read them all, even though I wasn't gonna wait for 4 and 5 to fall into my hands, because I was enjoying it, and I was gonna read the finale, and I just wanted to finish it, so I just did. I didn't know when I was gonna pull the trigger on an order. We then get into January 15th, January 21st. There was only one movie watched. This was a Netflix movie called Lift, and it's sort of like a team of thieves that do like art thefts get hired by a government to go steal something, some art, essentially. And he reunites with an ex-lover of his who's now working for the CIA, but it's a really cool movie. It's an action-packed film for sure. I'd recommend it if you have Netflix. You're already paying it, and that movie's there. I believe you'll enjoy it. We have a total of 12 comics. Not a lot going on that week. I think I was reading for Geek Brunch. We had 5 Marvel, 2 Image, 1 Fantagraphics, 2 DC, 1 Dark Horse, 3 Antarctic Press. The 3 out of 5 were exciting comics, 35 through 37. They started some new story arcs, and they're not really lighting my ass on fire like some of the previous story arcs. They're still good. Like there's one or two I enjoy more than others, and then there's some that are just there. But they're not horribly bad. Yeah, it's an anthology. And overall, the Antarctic anthologies are still worth your time, and worth your money, even though they're $4.99. You get a lot of content. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have The Darkness number 10. All hell breaks loose at the museum. The Yakuza versus the cops versus Sarah versus Jackie versus Nottingham. So, Witchblade versus Darkness versus the cops versus Nottingham versus everybody. The Yakuza, it's a crazy mess. That was a 4 out of 5. We have Gru Gods against Gru number 2. That's just entertaining. As normal, you have Gru at two places at once. The gods want to get rid of him. So essentially, people started worshiping him, and as they worship him, his like body separated into two, where he could be a deity in the heavens, along with the gods, and also be on Earth, where there's island people that want him dead and people that are pirates that want him dead, and he wants everybody else dead. So it's entertaining for sure. Hawk Girl 1 and 2. This is sort of a Hawk Girl on her own with Galaxina. Galaxina. More of a Galaxina story than an actual Hawk Girl story. but it does have a lot of relevant Hawk Girl stuff in it, as she's dealing with like certain pressures, like her history and stuff, and wanting to be her own character with not having the links that she has to so much history and reincarnation and all this stuff, and just wanting to exist as herself, and kind of pokes at that she might be bisexual. Like, Galaxina is definitely gay, and she hits on her, but Hawk Girl's like, I don't want to go there. And yeah, it's a threat of a villain. I forget what her name is, but she's a villain who needs to collect nth metal to return herself to her world. And obviously, she wants to take Hawk Girl's nth metal, so that's where the conflict comes in. And she's not a good character either. Like, she doesn't care who she kills or what as a villain to get the nth metal. She just wants the nth metal to return home. We have Fantastic Four 9 through 11. The FF take on the Miracle Man of Illusion, and the FF may have a new member shown on this cover. We have Guardians of the Galaxy number 3. This is the first ongoing by Valentino Aleta and Starhawk. Those are the ones, the characters I was talking about, separated into two, fighting the Stark. So they used to be one, like only one could be active, but in issue 3, they can actually exist at the same time, which was not called for before that. The Guardians defeat the first wave of the Stark, only to be destroyed by the second wave. Cliffhanger, will Starhawk be able to change time? Also, a cameo of Force and Fire Lord. Force is a competing group of heroes slash villains. We don't really know yet, but they're after the same thing that the Guardians are after, Cap Shield. And then Fire Lord gets pulled into all this mess on Corgi and actually helps the Guardians. We have New Warriors number 2. Midnight's Fire tries to frame Night Thrasher, and it's up to the new team to stop him and his gang. It's the first appearance of Silhouette, who is Midnight's sister. So there you go with the complex. And they both are appearing in the new limited series Night Thrasher that just came out a month ago. So there you go. There's links, man. I wasn't planning on buying that, but saw it at the shop, and I've been reading these new Warriors, and I was like, you know what? I'll at least try number one, and I liked it quite a bit, and added it to my pull list at the comic shop, not through DCBS. So I get a little bit less of a discount, like 35% at DCBS, 35 to 40 depending on the issue. I think it's 35 in this case, versus the 25% that I got. So the 5 out of 5s, we get Red Room Crypto Killers number 3, the Quentin Tarantino Red Room issue. This is a crazy issue. If you're a Quentin Tarantino fan, he's sort of telling a class, as he's a professor at a university, the history of Red Rooms. We then have G.I. Joe, a real American hero. Number 301 is there. G.I. Joe! This is the Larry Hama series, continued from IDW, which is continued from Marvel. Fantastic debut issue. I am entrenched in this world already and thoroughly enjoying it. This issue opens up with Cobra fighting against who's the character? I know Mindbender is there and one of the snake guys, Serpentor? Serpentor, I think. Is that a He-Man character? I don't remember. But they are sort of overtaken by a virus on the island, and they have their own agenda. Like they're becoming zombies, but they it seems like they maintain some of their brain, and don't lose total control. And they even go against Cobra Commander, and then the Joes are they escape with their lives barely from that island as they were going to the war. So Cobra Commander escaped, and so did the Joes. And now they're trying to figure out like how they're gonna plot to fight these the virus essentially. So yeah, that's where we are. And that wraps up this episode. I want to thank you for listening. The you five people that are still listening to this podcast give me the strength to do another episode every time because I know there's at least five of you that listen. So I'm bringing in listeners by the dozens. No, I probably have like five regulars, and I guess as I'll keep doing this as long as I enjoy it. Which I like too, because it's like a mental diary for me. Helps me remember things too. Like it has benefits for me and how I feel about the medium at the time. And sometimes I like to talk about things and there's nobody to talk about, so I could talk about things to myself into the mic. So there you go. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com on X and mike@comicbooknoise at Mike Myers Brunch on X, at Mike Myers Brunch on Blue Sky, which I'm starting to enjoy slightly more. It's more chill there, and the few people that are there really do love comics. So it feels like a little more celebratory towards the medium than X is, where people like to shit on everything. But X is still my primary source of everything. And then on Facebook, I'm on there, but I don't like to open up Facebook to anybody but close friends. But you can find me at Geek Brunch Podcast. The reason is because I put a lot of personal stuff on there and pictures and stuff like that, so I can keep track of stuff. But you can go to Geek Brunch Podcast and click all the episodes there. Listen to all the episodes there off of the Facebook page, or you can send us messages to comment on all the episodes there. And also, you can leave comments on the website itself, which is geekbrunchpodcast.com. So I want to thank you for listening, and keep reading comics and enjoying them. Enjoy your comics. All right, talk to you later. Bye.